To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for today's investigation. There is to be no peace found amongst our stars, with humanity seeking to desperately cling to the fading embers of the once so mighty Imperium, clamoring for safety upon a million worlds, wherein which the only form of hope can be found through their unyielding faith in the Emperor. But no matter where they are, safety can never truly be guaranteed. The Drukhari, also known as the Dark Eldar, are the black-hearted reavers of the galaxy who haunt the webway's ancient corners, striking out without warning to massacre or enslave any and all who are unfortunate enough to be found in their path. They dwell within the dark city of Komorar, an interdimensional metropolis of impossible architecture, where they feed upon the unbridled terror and agony of the mortal species as their sustenance. Every atrocity they commit will protect them from the thirsting gaze of Slaanesh, whilst also rejuvenating their kind as they dedicate themselves to a ceaseless war of pain against the rest of the galaxy. This nightmarish civilization is ancient beyond reckoning. 10,000 years ago, the unchecked depravity of the Eldari birthed the chaos god Slaanesh in a cataclysm which doomed their empire and their entire species. Some fled aboard their craft worlds to seek a more ascetic existence, but the worst of the old hedonists escaped from that apocalypse by slipping into the webway to avoid the wrath of the newborn god. There they still lurk, stalking the lightless expanse of Komorar, endlessly refining the most detestable methods of cruelty down into an absolute art form, sustaining their withered souls on the delectable anguish forcibly inflicted upon their lamentable victims. Yet, among the depraved fiends, there is a group far more ancient and far more horrific than the rest. These would be none other than of the Homunculi, operating from within their diabolical lairs, found beneath the towering spires, shrouded amidst the oppressive gloom of this nightmarish realm. More so than any other, they are the artisans of pain and agony, where death is only to be seen as another tool in their arsenal of creating some of the most horrific and ghastly of creatures to ever curse the face of our galaxy. For now, we will be exploring the foul Homunculi in all of their terrible glory by learning of who they are, what role they play within the Dark City, and of the malign covens where they group together to produce ever more ghoulish tools for the fallen Drukhari. We must now descend beneath the towering spires of Komorar, venturing into the suffocating gloom below, to find the lairs of the Homunculi covens, where the hopes and dreams of mortals inevitably go to die. The Homunculi are some of the eldest and most depraved of the Drukhari, generally being seen as vicious sculptors of flesh, whose arcane methods of torture are so vile that they should be considered as the most evil of figures, even in this already depraved realm. Many of them have lived for millennia upon millennia, only preserving themselves through their dark sciences and occult artifice. Some of their kind were already old when the Eldari fall shattered the galaxy, and indeed, they are whispered to include some of the very same hedonists whose excess led the ancient empire to ruin. The withered beings have engineered the death of suns, just as they have given life to an uncountable horde of monstrous forms. Yet they regret not a single atrocity from their depraved existence, as it is from their foul deeds which brings them to ecstasy. So steeped they are in forbidden lore, that even death itself is seen as merely another curious experiment, hardly more than another interesting event, which they have long mastered and overcome. Mortality is merely their clay to be molded, while the flesh, the spirit, and the soul are yet materials to be twisted at their will. Physically, a homunculus is a grotesque parody of the Eldar form. They deliberately remake their bodies into gaunt, otherworldly shapes, with vital organs often relocated into a hardened hump upon their backs, limbs stretched and spliced, and their skin pulled taut, studded with syringed and surgical staples. Many of their kind are wasp-waisted and skeletal, with their elongated spines carrying their weight, but typically they will never curse the grounds with the touch of their feet. For you see, some are known to hover above the blasted earth, while others will slither about on a coiled tail of reconstituted vertebrae, both of which are far more impressive than simple walking. Their blood will often be mutated with virulent toxins, so concentrated that even their scent can paralyze a victim, whereas others will seek to replace their entire bloodstream with a lethal ichor as a personal and grisly experiment. As masters of flesh, the homunculi play a rather unique and notably macabre role within the Dark City. Their lairs contain the profane secrets of bioscience and a torture craft, which can be used to create life as readily as to deny death. In these blood-soaked laboratories, new abominations of flesh will be stitched together, and in the shadows, new Drukhari will be born. It is rather disgusting, but the covens will cultivate entire breeding walls, honeycombed with amniotic pods and tubes, each containing a twisted mote of life destined to one day develop into a fully-fledged servant to the cabals. Through some hitherto unknown means, they will implant these walls with a burgeoning embryo, but nature cannot be allowed to proceed as normal, as they will aggressively accelerate their growth, forcing the Drukhari into full maturity via means which were presumably crafted by the covens themselves. The tube-spawned offspring are known as the half-born and make up the bulk of Komorar's population, though are often looked down upon by the far rarer class of true-borns, who generally regard themselves as being biologically superior. Quite infamously, the covens hold a necromantic command over death itself. The foul figures can regenerate almost any corpse back to life, and the Archons will commonly seek out their services to revive the broken forms of their favored playthings. The mangled body will be encased in a cocoon of flesh, then suspended above the torture dials in the coven's dungeon. Below, a fresh victim is subjected to excruciating torment, and as the cacophony of shrieks rises, the suspended corpse will be knit back together, feasting on the suffering like a hungering leech. After a particularly dangerous raid into real space, the regeneration pods of a coven vault might be filled with the red raw bodies of their new prisoners, each shuddering and screaming out in nightmarish unison. A homunculus will be able to sequester off a small portion of their own essence before storing it away in a hidden spirit vault or rune-etched casket, protecting it from all conventional forms of physical damage. Thus, if their body is ever destroyed, then the shard can be collected and grown anew, providing them with a limited sense of immortality, as their external form is only a tool, a vector to be used in their pursuit of the higher forms of anguish. But this soul store, for lack of a better term, may eventually be exploited by a rival. It is not uncommon to witness squabbles within the covens, and so if one wishes to put away with a bothersome peer, then they may use an arcane form of weapon to extinguish the soul of their victim, thereby granting a true and final death. Equally, the life essence of a Drukhari is a plaything in of itself, and so one may attempt to steal it away, only to perform a series of malign experiments, hopefully to produce a novel form of torture. Understandably, the deathless lords of torment make their homes in the deepest reaches of Komara's underworld, and beneath the glistening spires of the dark city lies a nightmarish mirror realm of darkness and decay. The undersides of the towering citadels are made up of a near equal number of twisted spires, which hang downwards, with entire districts flipped to descend into the unfathomable dark, like misshapen stalactites, barely visible through the unnatural gloom. Each coven occupies a vast domain of cells, laboratories, and dungeon chambers, within which piles of flesh are melded together to create the grotesque works of biological art that all have come to know and fear. Some of their lairs are formed as endless labyrinths of mirrors, where victims wander in circles, stalked by reflections cursed to come to life. Others consist of spiral-edged pits, crossed by narrow twisting walkways, where a single misstep will send an intruder plummeting down onto the blades below. There are even covens whose fortresses are grown as towers of living flesh, pulsing and screaming organically, as if the very architecture were alive. But all are laced with traps and terror. Even the other Drukhari fear to tread unbidden in these sunless depths, for every corridor is the mouth of a death trap, and every shadow appears alive, whispering maniacally with the darkest promises of an impossible torment. A homunculus coven is essentially a self-governing sect of like-minded flesh crafters who band together for mutual protection and to fuel their shared ambition. Each coven is comprised of multiple cells, where a cell consists of an individual homunculus and their personal entourage, loosely united beneath the banner of their coven. It is never quite known if there is a single homunculus who leads a coven, but regardless, all are expected to remain entirely faithful to their group, never to divulge their secrets to a rival coven. A hypothetical leader of a coven would likely be a figure known as a homunculus ancient, whose foul deeds date back to the old Eldari Empire, where they engaged in the depraved acts that precipitated the Great Fall. We have to speculate on these individuals, but given their post, they will likely coordinate the grand experiments and long-term schemes of the coven in order to grow their power and fill their vaults with a greater supply of flesh and souls. If a rival seeks to depose their leader, then their plot will likely play out as shadowy contests of one-upmanship, as opposed to an open coup. Their schemes may play out across several millennia as a slow-burning treachery, but as a result of this, a coven will be simultaneously cooperative whilst also ruthlessly competitive. Each member will strive to perfect their own grotesque masterpieces whilst quietly weaving themselves into a more advantageous position of power. The covens exist largely outside the strict political hierarchy of Komara. They can be likened to the incubi temple sects or the witch cults, which are both distinct factions that pursue their own agendas, cooperating with the cabals only when it suits them. But given their role within the Dark City, we could arguably claim that the covens are the most powerful group, next to the overarching cabals, of course. Their services are always in high demand, and their arcane proficiencies in the arts of life and death are so indispensable that even the mightiest of Archons will treat them with a wary sense of respect. Cabals frequently ally with covens on real space raids, bargaining for the homunculi's aid in exchange for payment in slaves, exotic toxins, or other difficult-to-obtain resources. When a coven lends its forces to a cabal's attack, the enemy is subjected to horrors beyond imagining, with writhing racks and thunderous grotesques fighting alongside the cabal's warriors, all supported by the coven's bizarre engines of pain. Conversely, a homunculus coven might call upon its cabal allies for protection or assistance if threatened, though such occurrences are rare, as in general, the covens maneuver independently, being content to practice their dark arts in the shadows. They care little for the day-to-day squabbles of the Archons, as long as their flow of captives and experimental subjects continues unabated. Even the most arrogant of Drukhari fear to cross the homunculi, as the Coven Lord's reputation for inventive cruelty is such that to earn their ire is to court a fate uniquely horrific. Notable members of the Archon's court will often bequeath them with lavish gifts of fresh prisoners just to stay on their good graces. It is well understood that a slighted homunculus will not simply kill the offender. Far more likely, the unlucky soul will be delivered into the coven's hands to become the centerpiece of some unspeakable torment parable. The punishments devised by the covens are somewhat poetic in their sadism, always being custom tailored to fit the crime. A Drukhari who tries to strong-arm or threaten a coven might later be found howling in frenzy as an insect-sized rack pumps hyperstimulants into his bloodstream, the drug-induced rage causing the victim to literally tear himself limb from limb. A debtor who withholds promised payment from the coven may awaken to find that they have been bound inside a venomous slith pit, their agonized screams echoing for days. One infamous anecdote tells of an envoy from the Cabal of the Baleful Gaze who wrinkled his nose at the carrion stench in a coven's foyer, an insult too great to ignore. The next night, he sprouted the quivering nostrils of an Ur-Ghul, a blind, corpse-eating beast, while his own eyes sealed over so that he might better appreciate the fine bouquet of rot. Such terrifying tales ensure that the homunculi are given a wide berth in all dealings. In Komara, to offend a coven is to invite a personalized nightmare upon oneself, and no one, not even the High Lords of the Cabals, wishes to suffer the tender mercies of the homunculi. The following chapters will detail some of the more notorious of covens known to exist within Komara, starting with the group known as the Black Descent, who have elevated the art of the trap into a philosophy of life. Its homunculi delight in elaborate snares, misdirections, and long-form schemes that lead their foes into ruin. The Black Descent's lair is a maddening labyrinth of glass, suspended beneath the dark city, protected by layers of lethal trickery, so much so that even lesser homunculi of the coven are not allowed to know all the passages. Each homunculus is granted knowledge of only those routes and chambers that their masters wish them to know, ensuring no upstart underling can navigate the maze without leave. The corridors themselves are studded with ingenious death traps, ready to butcher intruders or overly curious apprentices who stray beyond their station. This coven prefers to punish its enemies by employing methods which are perfectly tailored to the victim, subverting every strength and exploiting every weakness, sometimes through poisons and sometimes through plots which take 1,000 years to play out. For instance, if a foe relies upon preparing an ambush, then they may be silently transported to a false stage where every protective corner is laced with insidious traps, eventually forcing them into the center where there can be no place left to hide. No transgression is too small to escape notice. The homunculi of the black descent take special pleasure in devising ironic torments for any slight, savoring the elaborate denouement of their plots, as a connoisseur savors a fine wine. True to their name, the Black Descent have constructed their fortress as their signature masterpiece, which, as I previously mentioned, hangs inverted beneath the dark city, plunging down into the impossible shroud of this hellish realm. Captives deemed promising are cast into the labyrinth's lightless, soundless chambers to be used as playthings in the coven's experiments, intended both as torture for the victim as well as entertainment for the masters. These hapless souls find themselves groping through pitch-black corridors, forced to navigate by touch and instinct alone, while the coven's lords watch intently from outside. The maze is practically alive with tricks and traps, where a wrong turn may lead into a paradox cube, imprisoning the victim in an impossible space from which there is no possible escape. A stumbling step might send one falling eternally down a Möbius pit, looping through folded dimensions forevermore. Razor-edged walls shift without warning. Passages lead back upon themselves, and all the while the homunculi observe and leer, taking notes on each anguished attempt to break free. Nearly all who are thrown into the nightmare labyrinth perish in its bladed coils, but on the exceedingly rare occasion that a prisoner manages to traverse the maze safely, then the Black Descent will offer a cruel reward. The survivor is to be welcomed into the coven's ranks by being transformed into a rack, forever bound to the service of the Black Descent thereafter. In this way, the coven replenishes its servants with only the hardiest and most desperate of souls, drawing new strength from those who proved capable of enduring their darkest game. The Coven of Twelve is a notorious conclave of the homunculi, defined by elitism, rivalry, and an arms race of atrocity. Paradoxically, this coven only ever has 11 active members at a time. The 12th seat is left perpetually vacant as an honor to the legendary Urien Rakarth, who will be readily accepted once more should that ancient homunculus ever choose to join their number. Each of the 11 considers himself the foremost master of the dark arts, and none will suffer another to claim superiority. Thus, the only way to enter the Coven of 12 is to eliminate one of the existing members in a manner so thorough that even a homunculus cannot regenerate from it. This grim initiation ritual has given rise to some of the most outrageous murders in Komarog's history. Coven lore holds that Shegmith Crow, an old Coven elder, was pushed into a bespoke mirror dimension no larger than a coffin, a space far too small for his body and from which no escape was possible. Another master, Caibris Sulfur, was challenged with an impossible riddle. With each wrong answer, sorcerous contagions transmuted more of his flesh into inert bone until he calcified entirely, becoming a statue of ossified remains. Most notorious of all is the fate of Zacredavia, said to have been dissolved into a sentient soup by rare tyrannid acids, only to be consumed by his triumphant rivals at a celebratory banquet. But such are the lengths to which an aspirant must go to claim a seat among the 12. Within the Coven of 12, an ever-escalating contest of one-upmanship prevails. These homunculi engage in a warped arms race, constantly developing more lethal weaponry and gruesome techniques to outdo one another. Each Coven member bears an arsenal of the most arcane and devastating tools their twisted science can produce. Sinister devices such as flesh gauntlets that can turn a victim's innards to mush with a touch, electrocorrosive whips, null field rods, and crystallizing hex rifles are common in the 12's repertoire. Some within their group are known as Scarlet Epicureans, meaning that they have been consumed by a desire to experience every nuance of agony, often resulting in them taking a leading role during a raid, specifically to revel in the inventive deaths they help to orchestrate. To these connoisseurs of suffering, each battle is an opportunity to unveil a new sensation or push the boundaries of cruelty further. The servants of the Coven of 12 reflect this ethos as well. The racks in their employ are often flayed utterly bare, with every inch of skin peeled away and their raw nerve endings exposed to the open air so they can feel the full spectrum of sensation at all times. These skinless horrors fight on despite indescribable pain, for pain is the reason to their existence, and to make this easier to attain, their nerves will be alchemically rewired to transmute unimaginable suffering into unmatched euphoria. Armed with hellish devices and driven by an obsession towards creating the most obscene methods of suffering, the Coven of 12 brings extravagantly cruel weaponry to every real space raid. It is said their preferred hunting grounds lie out in the ghoul stars at the galaxy's edge, where they can capture and test exotic victims away from prying eyes. Wherever they strike, the 12 make a grisly spectacle of war, their victims dying in spectacularly inventive ways, as the Coven members savor each refined cruelty firsthand. Among the Covens, the Hex are known for their grotesque mastery in weaving life into new forms, in that they fancy themselves the most artistically gifted flesh crafters of the Dark City. Every raid they undertake is approached as a theatrical production, every atrocity a grand performance piece, best suited to their master's artistic vision. They tend to selectively choose their raids based on the prospective scale to which they may ply their torment. But when they do commit to an operation, their depravity will be put on full display. Much of the Hex's art is executed on a massive, shocking scale. They might flay and sculpt the remains of hundreds of victims into a single nightmarish tableau, arranging corpses and body parts in elaborate symbolic patterns to convey some obscene aesthetic. Such creative undertakings require a prodigious workforce, and accordingly, the Hex maintain unusually large retinues of racks to serve as their grisly laborers and stagehands. These minions spend days before a raid constructing gruesome set pieces from flesh and bone under the exacting eye of their hellish masters. On the battlefield, the Hex Coven operates with a twisted sense of showmanship. The homunculi of this coven compete amongst themselves to secure the greatest number and most interesting variety of living captives, each seeking raw materials for the next morbid exhibit. To some extent, they seem to wish to turn war into a choreographed horror show, purely for their own enjoyment. A strike by the Hex often unfolds as follows. First, they will ambush a settlement and rapidly incapacitate a portion of the populace, but deliberately allow a few victims to escape or cry out for help. The Hemoncoli then pause their slaughter to stage a ghastly exhibit with the freshly slain. By the time reinforcements or would-be rescuers arrive, they will stumble upon a scene of pure terror. Perhaps it will be a town square decorated with flayed corpses posed in a mockery of a celebratory feast, or walls adorned with the artful entrails of their comrades. The Hex Covenites hide in the wings, so to speak, drinking in the terror and revulsion of the onlookers from the shadows. They wait, patient as undertakers, until panic and hysteria have fully taken hold of their audience. Only when the watchers are gibbering in madness do the Hemonculi strike the final blow, detonating bombs to destroy any means of escape, then descending upon the horrified survivors in the climactic finale of their masterpiece. In this way, the Hex ensure that their every raid is also a performance, with the traumatized minds of their victims serving as the canvas for their dark art. Unsurprisingly, their raiding territory lies at the fringe of the Ultima Segmentum, where the Imperium is sluggish to respond to calls for aid, and where the remote worlds offer them with ample freedom to practice their insane pageantry. Like with the other covens, the Hex are nothing if not inventive. Their coven name is well earned, for they have mastered all manner of esoteric curses and bizarre weapons to incorporate into their dramatic arsenal. In 926 M36, the Hex achieved infamy by capturing and weaponizing the so-called Glass Plague of Jalax-Lar, a xenovirus that transmutes living tissue into brittle crystal. The homunculi of the Hex contained this virulent plague and then unleashed it during their raids, watching whole colonies of humans literally petrify into glass mid-scream. Thereafter, the Coven's arsenals came to include specialized crystal ray spirit rifles that could vitrify victims in the field. Such macabre innovations fetch a high price in Comoraz markets, and the Hex Coven has reaped considerable prestige and profit by selling their unique cursed munitions to other Drukhari, all while keeping the most spectacular props and effects for their own dire performances. To the members of the Hex, war and art are one and the same, and nothing is too grotesque nor too outrageous if it adds to the final spectacle of horror. Interestingly, the homunculi of the Hex seem to have been touched by their own curses to some degree, but it is of no matter, as each nightmarish performance is more than worth it for the price of tasting in their own blighted touch. If the Hex are artists of fear, the Dark Creed are its devoted priests, as this homunculus coven exalts terror itself as the ultimate weapon and sacrament. The Dark Creed specialize in breaking the minds and spirits of their victims, employing the most nightmarish creatures and tactics to spread primordial fear. They have forged strong links with the mandrakes, shadowy creatures that lurk in Comorog's twilight edges, entering into unspeakable pacts with these otherworldly horrors to amplify the dread they can inflict. But the cost of such alliances are steep, as the Dark Creed annually pays thousands of captured slaves to the mandrakes, along with far more esoteric offerings whose details are best left undescribed. Yet the homunculi gladly bear this price, for in return they gain the service of creatures made of living shadow and nightmare. When the Dark Creed launches a real space raid, it is preceded by an unnatural darkness, an umbral shroud populated by slithering mandrakes and conjured phantasms that sabotage infrastructure and devour screams in the night. Entire cities are often gripped by paralyzing panic even before the first Coven warrior strikes, all according to the Homunculi's design. It is a glorious thing for the members of this coven to destroy their targets via indirect methods, sometimes eschewing blades and weapons altogether, in the pursuit of annihilating an entire force just by creating such a miasma of fear that their hearts simply cannot take the strain. Almost as an extension of themselves, the Dark Creed have forged their home amidst a shadowy region of Komora, named as the Whispering Void, a vast expanse said to be a city in of itself, but we do not know if its size rivals that of the Dark City. This eerie domain has been deliberately shifted slightly out of phase with normal reality, transforming it into a nightmare realm of umbral shadows and phantasmal echoes. The halls of the Whispering Void are cloaked in perpetual gloom. Swirling mists curl around cyclopean pillars, and half-heard threats slither in the peripheral hearing of any who wander there, as the very environment plays venomous tricks on the minds of the unprepared. Within this fog-choked maze, the Homunculi navigate by following floating witchlights, glowing orbs that bob through the air, marking safe paths from one pocket of stable reality to another. Only Coven members know the true sequence of these enchanted lights, guiding them on the safe path through the labyrinth. Any intruder bold enough to infiltrate the Whispering Void will soon find the guide lights extinguished, plunging them into an endless expanse of shadow where even time and distance become distorted. Lost in this lightless purgatory, trespassers are systematically hunted by the Coven's pets, be they mandrakes or other frightful experiments, or simply left to wander until their hearts give out from sheer terror. The Dark Creed's Homunculi stalk these murky corridors like revenant ghosts, shepherded by their will-o'-wisp orbs, ever ready to douse the lights and entomb their prey in an all-consuming darkness at a moment's notice. There is little to be found within this realm but fear and death, with the darkness itself seeming hungry for the souls of the misguided. The Coven is also notorious for its use of Kronos parasite engines, which are monstrous constructs formed of corrupted metals and unwilling flesh. They can drain the life essence of any mortal within their vicinity, as their creation produces a ravenous feedback loop of negative energy, causing their prey to wither and collapse in a decrepit husk entirely devoid of life and soul. Through such mastery of dread, this coven has earned a reputation as perhaps the most psychologically devastating of all the Homunculi sects. And to face them will put not only your life on the line, but also your very sanity, which will rapidly be shredded and devoured by the living nightmare. It is truly quite nightmarish to look upon the covens for what they truly are, as malign sects of the cruelest and most depraved of Drukhari, containing the most ambitious connoisseurs of agony to have ever cursed the face of our galaxy. The ancient Fleshmasters are relics of a bygone era, and it is a true tragedy that they were not obliterated along with the old Eldari Empire. But alas, as most nightmares do, they seem to long outstay their welcome. Fueled by sick passion and depravity in equal measure, they raid the mortal realms, not simply to destroy, but to harvest pain and fear on an industrial scale, while sustaining their own accursed lives in the process. To those who dwell in real space, the Drukhari are already akin to a waking nightmare. But the Homunculi are the nightmare within the nightmare, the unseen boogeymen, to whom even the sadistic cabal lords must bow and bargain. It is the homunculi who ensure that in Comara suffering never truly ends. Under their scalpels, life can be prolonged unnaturally, twisted into new forms again and again, just to prolong the succulent tastes of agony and terror. A victim will painfully learn that a homunculi will transform their death into a revolving door, a mere interval of darkness granting a brief reprieve before being dragged back, howling once more into the light. The galaxy holds many horrific fates, but the Coven dungeons offer a uniquely dreadful prospect of suffering through an unending torment, delivered by experts who enjoy every moment of their work. Your flesh and your soul are but feeble mediums to be broken, reshaped, and broken again without mercy. But perhaps most terrifying of all is that the homunculi do have a purpose behind their evil. They are not mindless beasts nor uncontrollable demons. They are cold, brilliant intellects with eons of experience in extracting the maximum pain a living being can possibly endure. Every atrocity they commit is recorded, studied, and refined for the next experiment. And with each passing century, their repertoire of horrors only grows more exquisite. But with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we should bring this nightmare to its end. Thank you all for listening to the horrors of the homunculi covens in its entirety. And I do hope that these tales will not keep you up through the night. But for now, as I close this chapter once more, I will thank you again for your time and wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.